Donut Bag is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protect it with ExpressVPN for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Go to the link listed in my Twitter profile.
I just wanted to say, to start off, that I called it. I predicted the Steelers would win.
You did. I called it. More than once.
More than once, many times. More than once. The reason why I said they were going to win was because basically because of pride. When you get smacked as bad as they got smacked against Buffalo and all the things that people were saying, I mean, heck, when I had my podcast, I was like, we held a funeral. It's like, this is the death of the franchise. They're never going to recover from this. They're never going to win another game. When you get that embarrassed, if you're a good team or you have any pride, you're going to come back and at least make it close, at least fight.
Well, yeah, people calling you out, fans calling you out for quitting. I mean, Arthur Ouellette was calling people out, and nothing against him, but really, you know, if he's a guy calling you out in the locker room, you know, that's got a rough
right
there too, you know? So, yeah, they definitely rose to the occasion. Hey, they didn't beat him 38-18, but they won. And that may be, like you're saying, maybe the pendulum the other way, Joe. Maybe some of these games where you and I were thinking probably don't have a chance to win. Maybe now, I don't think they have a chance to beat the Eagles. But maybe some of these other games before the bye week, who knows? You know, who knows? Could be within reach.
It's all – and basically that saved the season. You don't come back from 1-5. You know, or where people were projecting 1-7 or whatever after these games. But now they have a chance. The Miami game is very winnable. I'm a little scared because the Dolphins are in the same boat. They started 3-0 and then they went 0-3.
Right.
So it's like you keep losing, eventually you're gonna win. And they're getting Tua back. But I also think that's kind of an advantage because Brian Flores is on the Steelers staff, and he would know the Miami Dolphins, the Dolphins offense better than anyone. So maybe that's an advantage for the Steelers. I don't know.
I think they have some insight of that. And you know, when you come back from the concussions like that, and we know this all too well as Pittsburgh fans with what happened with Sidney Crosby, you can't tell me that he's going to be 100%. Now, look, he may come out and do great, maybe, but you get a good pressure on him and put him on the ground a few times, and the Steelers have been better at that. You know, Highsmith was all over the quarterback yesterday. He had a good game. You know, Miles Jack had 8 solo tackles. He had a good game. If they pressure him and get him out, I mean, yeah, they definitely could take advantage of that. I don't think Tua coming back guarantees a Dolphins win. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. That's going to be really interesting. The other funny thing is, you know, it's a primetime game in Miami. I think that actually helps the Steelers because A, it's not going to be as hot, but also I think there's going to be like probably just as many Steelers fans there as Dolphins fans. So I don't know if they're going to have much of a home field advantage.
That'll be a home crowd. It'll be a home crowd. And really, you know, when you look at it, they're coming off of this. Yeah, Tua's coming back. The Steelers are coming off a nice win. You know, it was against Tom Brady. It was against, you know, a team that a lot of people had them losing to. It was a team that's passed the ball fairly well, and they held them to 4-14 on third down yesterday. And, you know, it's really is it a win that blew you away? No, but it's a win that they needed and impressed all the same. And that's something to build on, and they may have some momentum here kicking in. And like you said, I think maybe you get beat like that and get humiliated like they did in Buffalo, a team you beat last year in Buffalo. I think that's still there. Najee Harris, I felt, kind of stepped up a little bit, had a little bit of a better game, had a couple of nice runs yesterday, the ones we were more expecting to see him, caught a touchdown pass. You know, and I think some of the players believing in what maybe Tomlin's saying. I know I've been critical of Tomlin. You've seen me be critical of Tomlin on Twitter, probably not as, you know, you're probably more favorable towards him than I am, but you got to give him credit. He said, you're going to see Jaylen Warren more. And we did. Not only did we see him more, but I thought, which was really critical, is on that first drive that they eventually scored on. It's 4th and 1, would have been really easy to have Boz come in and kick that field goal, makeable field goal, almost chip shot for him. And they give it to Jaylen Warren on a 4th-and-1 carry. He grabs 3 yards, gets the first down, which then sets up Najee for the touchdown pass the next 2 plays. So, I mean, that was a lot of faith that he showed in Jaylen Warren. He stuck to it, and the kid did well.
I thought that was really curious. It's like, why is Warren in there for a 4th-and-1? Why don't you have your feature back in there? But hey, it works.
I think he's been hitting holes a little bit better. I don't know. I mean, that's only something Tom and the coaching staff are going to know. But that was my thought is, I mean, he's been hitting the holes and the gaps a little bit stronger, and he hit that gap and boom, they got a first down. So that was a lot to give Jaylen Warren. That showed a lot of faith.
Yeah. A lot of people thought, the Steelers are going to come back strong because they were embarrassed in Buffalo and stuff. But then the injury report came out, and basically almost the entire secondary was out.
Right.
And people was like, well, there's no way a bunch of a ragtag group of rebels is going to defeat Darth Vader, Tom Brady.
Right.
It's absolutely amazing. I'm looking at who is playing.
James Terrell Edmonds. Pierre,
Terrell Edmonds played. Yeah, thank goodness Terrell Edmonds was out
10 tackles, 6 solo and 2 for a loss. I mean, that's pretty good numbers from Terrell Edmonds.
I think, you know, people give him crap, but I mean, he's missed the past couple games, and that secondary has looked like crap. So I think he's a big part of that defense. Trey Norwood stepped in there. James Pierre was one of the starting cornerbacks. That's amazing. The guy was basically, I don't think he played that much in the secondary at all. He was basically just a special teams guy, and he comes in as a starting cornerback. That's amazing. And then Josh Jackson, who I think was on the practice squad,
yeah,
is the other starting cornerback. That's amazing.
And that's the thing too. I mean, you know, they got some reps in because next week they're going to get Jaylen Waddle and they're going to get Tyreek Hill. So, not to mention Mike Gesicki, you know, you got to be wary of him in the red zone. So they got a tall order this week, and maybe that was good practice for them because they did a very good job against a decent Dolphins receiving core or Buccaneers receiving core.
You know, Minka Fitzpatrick is going to play. I don't care if he's in a wheelchair. That dude is going to play that game against his old team. I saw you
tweet that like 30 seconds after the game was over.
Oh, you know, he's going to be available. Yeah. He is going to play. He cannot wait to play against his former team. He might, right. He might single-handedly win this game. He might.
2 pick-sixes.
He might ask to play wide receiver or something. He might just want to.
That would be nice.
Me in the Wildcat. Can I be a running back too? I think that marriage did not end well. and the same thing with Brian Flores. Flores and the Dolphins hate each other, so that's going to be really interesting too.
But it does. I guess you got to give credit where it's due too. Mitch did a nice job coming in. I say this, and if these people are starting a controversy, give me a break. Kenny's number one. Mitch is number two. Now, Mitch did do a great job. He did what you want a backup quarterback to do. He was perfect. He came in. He didn't lose a game. He led 2 great drives. But guess what? 2 good drives doesn't make up for 4 bad games. You know, and so to me, no, Mitch is not the quarterback. Tomlin's not going to go back on it unless for some reason Kenny enters the concussion protocol. But unless that happens, there's no way Mitch should be the starting quarterback next week.
When Mitch came in and it started off bad and it was basically the same old Mitch we've seen for 4 games.
Yep.
I'm like, come on. Are we losing this game because of freaking Mitch Trubisky? And it turns out we won the game. All of a sudden, he just got a little more comfortable and he just started slinging it around. And he basically became the guy that we wanted him to be all along. What happened? Where do you go? How did this happen? Maybe he probably thought, well, screw it. My career is over. He's already screwed. He's already, you know, everybody hates him. Nobody thinks highly of him at all. I'm just going to go out there and do whatever that guy wants. And I think that's an indictment of Matt Canada in the offense and all that crap. He probably just said, screw it. I'm just going to do what I want. And look what happened.
Well, and yeah, I mean, that last drive, they had They had three fourth downs, fourth and 11, fourth and 13, fourth and 15. They converted on all of them. Like, where has this been? Now, had that guy been there those first couple games, you probably still would have a heck of a controversy.
Yeah.
But that guy wasn't there. And like I told you last week, the week show before, you can't go back now. And this is what you kind of are afraid of, because Mitch did look good. You just can't go back. I mean, if he's healthy, you shouldn't lose your starting job because of an injury. And that's kind of the unwritten rule. But yeah, if you go back and Mitch is starting Sunday, unless, of course, if he's in concussion protocol, then so be it. But if Kenny's not hurt, you can't go back.
Most likely he is going to be in concussion protocol, though, because of the way things are now with concussions, that super duper careful. And they're most likely they're going to keep Kenny out of this game, whether he is regardless of how he's feeling.
Ironically, because of what we saw happen to Tua.
To Tua, yeah. Right?
You know, so irony there. But yeah, you know, I think Najee looked a little bit better. I would still like to see Najee have like a 19 to 22 carry game, 120, 130 yards, a touchdown or two. I think that's what we're all waiting for. And I'm kind of hoping about that metal boot that he ended up wearing, which a lot of us didn't know about how severe and how big of a contraption it was inside there. He did look more fleet of foot Sunday. So hopefully that continues to get going better.
There are lies, there are really bad lies, and then there's the whatever players and coaches say about injuries.
Yeah, it's not,
you know, bad. The only reason we even know his foot hurt was because Najee blurted it out one time in an interview.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise we wouldn't even know his foot was hurt at all.
Right.
And now he has a steel plate. He's what do they try to make him the Terminator or something?
Right.
what the heck?
Right. And since it's Pittsburgh, half of the dads are all sitting at home. I know what it's like to wear steel toe boots, you know. So I know that was hard. I used to wear them in the mill, and he's gonna be great now. So we'll see. But Najee, I was happy with Mitch. Dotson was one guy that, what a bad game.
He was horrible. And the play that Kenny got hurt
was Dotson.
He first of all, he held the guy and then he let him go. And the guy hit Kenny and caused a concussion. But as Kenny got hit, he still got the ball off. It was underthrown. You know, it comes back. It was a big game and it comes back on the holding.
Yeah,
man.
He didn't go out for the field goal. He missed the field goal
extra. And they had to use a timeout because of him. Yeah.
So either that's got maybe to hear to the Joey Bag Donuts philosophy. Maybe he's going to be enraged and play a great game Sunday, or they're going to make a change, because that was horrible.
Well, first of all, people are sending him death threats. Come on, man. Come on, people.
You know, if you listen to this podcast, and a lot of people do, grow up. It's a game.
That is,
you know,
terrible.
We get excited about it here. We have a lot of fun. There's a lot of passion, but grow up.
Yeah. I mean, me and a whole million people were saying, bench the guy. He's horrible. But you don't. My goodness. Death threats, man. I hope they catch those people. But the problem is the backup behind Dotson is Kendrick Green, who is the worst football player on the history of the universe. So
he's got to be one of the worst draft picks in the last 20, 15
years. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. You just got to hope for the best with Dotson. But otherwise, I thought the offensive line played pretty well, which is very encouraging.
I guess it's hard because the last couple of weeks we could have gone on and on about who played terrible. Dotson was the one guy that stood out to me. He's not playing well. But the rest of the team did pretty good. Miles Jack, again, quietly, 8 tackles. I think he's fourth in the league now in tackles. He had a great game. So, you know, there's some momentum and there's some hope. Again, they could be going against a buzzsaw there with a Tua coming back. And we've seen what that offense can do when it's cranking. They dismantled Baltimore. They've just, you know, been unstoppable. But their defense hasn't been exactly great. So I think there's got to be some definite optimism in that steel of the locker room going into this week's matchup.
So assuming Kenny gets kept out because of concussion protocol and Mitch starts, let's say he has like an insanely good game.
Oh boy.
Let's say he throws for like 4 or 5 touchdowns or something like that. What do you do? You still think Kenny should have the starting job back?
I do, because I and that's not me being a Pennsylvania homer. It's just, I don't, what kind, the controversy you create if you do that, to me, is just, who's going to be this week? Who's the team supposed to follow? Who's the team supposed to get behind? You know, it's quarterbacks that make the difference in this game. You know, and you got to, I mean, what message does that say to Kenny? Like, well, look, kid, we really believed in you like 2 weeks ago until you got hurt. Now this guy's playing better, so now we kind of believe in him. You just can't. And that's why I said that on your podcast 2 weeks ago. You can't go back now, so no matter what happens, and to your point, if the worst-case scenario, which is kind of worst-case scenario, even though we won, now Kenny's hurt, now Mitch is back. And like you said, if he has a great game Sunday, it's going to be not what Tomlin wanted. Because there's going to be the Kenny Pickett haters. I don't know why there's so many of them out there all of a sudden. But, you know, give me a break.
Yeah. Well, people.
Kenny's QB1, in my opinion.
I mean, let's look at this long term. Mitch is just here for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
He's gone after this year.
Yep.
Kind of not great to say to your long-term quarterback, your quarterback of the future, hey, here's the keys, kid. Nope, I'm taking them away. You're grounded. It's not cool to jerk him around like that, but
yeah. So I think it's gotta be his team, and you gotta give the keys to Kenny. Let him grow with this team. Let him learn with this team. And yeah, they look, even after this weekend, if we end up with a 6-win season or 7-win season, which I think is probable, at least he was behind the helm and had some good highlights to build on for next year.
Yeah.
Put him back on the bench. What does he have to build on? Well, I got a shot for a game and a half, and it was kind of cool. That's
right.
You know, right. So plus, you know, hey, his first touchdown pass was to Najee. I thought that was a great play. Najee totally unguarded. And you'll keep building that chemistry.
It was a great play by Kenny. It is never anything good happens, it's because of the quarterback. Anything bad happens, it's because of Matt Canada.
Right.
That's the rule. So right. Great play by Kenny. Great play by Najee. Offensive line. Great. Yeah, Najee was completely wide open. I don't know what the heck Tampa was doing. I don't know what Tampa was doing this entire game, because I think Tom Brady has reached his expiration dates. I don't think it's not that his father time has caught up with him, which maybe it has. I think he just doesn't give a crap. And not that, I mean, it's not like, I mean, he was yelling at people. He was fired up, but he's also missing half the practices to go to a wedding. He missed half a training camp for some unknown reason. Didn't show up for the
walkthrough on Saturday.
So, yeah.
You know,
like, yeah, you don't. And you know, people say, it was like, well, yeah, okay, Friday night is, you know, players do whatever the heck they want. But still, that's a bad look. That's during the week. You just miss the day before the game. That's just a bad look.
4 or 5 years ago, that Tom Brady probably finds a way to win that game. You know, and he just, you know, it wasn't there. But again, not to take away from the Steelers defense. That Steelers defense, the Buccaneers are 4-14, 4-14 on third down. That's fantastic. Considering, like you said, the defensive backs, not any huge names. Edmonds being back was great. But that defense played solid with a patchwork defense. They played pretty well yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Also, the defensive line really, really put the pressure on Brady without blitzing. Larry Ogunjobi had himself a game.
Did he not?
He's a force.
Yes. Yeah, that kid is going to really be something. At least you hope he will be, based off of what he did yesterday and what he's done so far this season. Definitely looking forward to what more he's going to do this year.
Even Devin Bush did something. My goodness. What world are we living in that Devin Bush is contributing to
a
game? My goodness.
Yeah.
Another shock was the receivers in general and Chase Claypool in particular. Chase Claypool was just, who's this guy? He was catching everything that was thrown at him. He was making incredible catches.
Yeah.
He looked amazing. Like, where has this guy been?
Yeah, I think I tweeted that and got a decent amount of respect for that. Was when did he show up? Because 96 yards receiving, like you said, he has that great just a great receiver body. He's the guy you've always wanted. The arm reach, the length, the ability to elevate himself. And he was doing that yesterday and looking solid. And, you know, and that's the other reason I think he's starting to get a comfort level with Kenny. And now, you know, he had a decent couple, two catches there with Mitch or so. But yeah, I'm keep it rolling here. And if he can just get on a roll, who knows? The sky's the limit with that guy. And obviously, and you have to wonder, so I don't know if you were privy to this, but the kind of the breaking news late this afternoon was, I'm not sure why this didn't come up when it happened, but apparently it looks like, according to what Jerry Dulac is saying here in his report, is that Mitch got into a Deontay Johnson at halftime of the Jets game. They got into a shouting match in the locker room, and that's what helped led to him being benched. And which I can see with Deontay and him getting into it a little bit. Then Kenny comes in. And so did Claypool look at that moment saying, this is my moment to shine. Deontay, you know, it's just not working. And maybe they'll find a way, you know, I'm just going to shut up, do my job, do what I can do. And he had a great game.
This I didn't hear that, but it does not surprise me one bit. All you could see those first few games when Mitch was a quarterback was the wide receivers, they would be open and Mitch would not hit them or not even throw to them, and them just being so angry. And that was I could see Deontay just, you know, reaching his boiling point. But I mean,
yeah,
you know, I don't think that led to Kenny coming in there.
That contributed to it. I don't know. I just find it odd it took so long for that to come out, but if indeed that happened, it probably contributed to it at least. I mean, you know, who knows? But we'll see where it's at next week. I think those are the two guys I'm most interested to see, is if Najee can keep improving and if Claypool can have another big game, whoever's a quarterback, then you got something to build on. And I think that's where all of our depression, Joe, and all of our maybe lack of faith is, like, okay, our quarterback's not working out, but we at least have Najee, you know, continuing to be well. Najee hadn't been well. And truth be told, whether it was Mitch or Kenny, some of these receivers have been dropping balls. Freiermuth's out. You know, but all these things kind of contributed to our, like, the Steelers aren't going to win another game for the rest of the year. Well, they found a way to do it. Tomlin and his staff, you know, as much as we can be critical, did a fairly good job getting them ready for the game. So who knows? Now we have some optimism. Where a week ago, we didn't have much.
The big thing that I think helped so much in that game was the complementary aspect. The offense had long sustained drives, which kept the defense off the field, which kept them fresh, which made them much more effective. You know, those first few games, all you saw was Steelers offense, three and out, three and out, three and out. And the defense would play well, but then they would have to go right back out there out all the time and, yep, and get tired. So I really hope that continues. And
yeah, you know, it just never works when you're putting the defense on its heels by making it spend the majority of its time on the field. They forced Tampa into three and outs yesterday in the second half alone. So the defense did its job and the offense obliged, like you said, by getting the ball, moving it downfield, converting on fourth downs, which, you know, I mean, it's almost fourth downs. One was fourth and 13. So, you know, was that Tomlin saying, screw it, we're just going to do it? Or was that more methodical? Like, I got to give my defense a rest. I got to have my faith in my offense. You know, maybe it was a mix.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tomlin is always criticized for being too conservative. That's why I'm almost kind of shocked he went for it on fourth and one, and you know, right, in Tampa territory. So, but the one part that was maddening was at the end of the first half when the Steelers, they had the ball and they basically did nothing, and they gave it back to Tampa, and then Tampa did nothing. And then the Steelers have it back with like a minute left or something like that. And they did, they all they had to do was run it three times and that's it, and run out the clock. And instead they took no time off the clock, gave it right back to Tampa, and Tampa scored a field goal from it. And instead of 10 to 6, you're now 10 to 9, which is almost a tie. Like,
because let's not forget Boz's 54 yard field goal, or is it 54-58? Can't remember which, but it barely went over that crossbar. Is that, if that kick doesn't go through, we're sitting here saying, hey, a lot of nice stuff, but they lost.
Right. Yeah. That field goal was huge.
Yep.
It was huge. If they didn't have that miracle drive at the end of the game and they gave it back to Tampa, you know, Tom Brady is leading them to a field goal there and they would have lost 21-20. That's a certainty. So
yeah,
scary stuff that almost cost them the game. So
yeah, and that's what's kind of fun about the NFL, at least still to me, is, you know, obviously we're much more in tune with what the Steelers are going to be doing Sunday, but I'm kind of curious as to what Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are going to do after this. Are you right? Is Brady, because I think a typical Brady team goes out next week and just lights whoever it is up. But you just start wondering if Brady's starting to look human here and there's chinks in the armor. And as you said, he's 45 and it's like, I got a lot on my plate. I got a divorce with a popular model going on. I got all this stuff going on. Maybe it's just not him being focused for a lot of reasons.
I love that line that, you know, basically he divorced his wife, his supermodel wife, so he could get beat by Trey Norwood and Josh Jackson. You know, you didn't get beat by Minkah Fitzpatrick. You got beat by Elijah something. I don't even know
his name. Somebody, I don't know who it was. I thought it was pretty clever. They said Mitch Trubisky did what Giselle couldn't. He kept Tom Brady off the field. It's like, that was pretty good. It's accurate. So, but yeah, I think, you know, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, that doesn't affect him, you're lying to yourself. That's got to have a little bit of an impact on what he's going through right now. So,
Why he went to that wedding. He was trying to find, because you can find, that's, I mean, everybody's all dressed up. Wedding is a great place to find a mate. So maybe he was just, you know.
Maybe he finally saw Wedding Crashers on the plane last week or something. He's like, hey, I can try that next week. I'm Tom Brady. I'm the greatest wedding crasher ever.
That's right. That's right. While they're doing the chicken dance, he could go up to some girl or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I think he's checked out. There is no way. The guy lives, eats, and breathes football, and he took half the training camp and just took it off, which, yeah, I've never seen anybody do. You don't do stuff like that during the week. I don't care if it's the two least important days of the week. You don't just take off with, you know, that's just not right. And then, but I think the main thing that's hurting him is the Tampa offensive line is not what it was in the past. So, you know, Tom Brady was feeling the pressure.
Yeah, they went into that game ranked, I think they were 6th or 7th in sacks allowed. So they hadn't been bad, but he'd been under a lot of pressure. So they haven't given up the sacks, but you're right. He's been doing a lot more running than he has in the past. And he did it again yesterday. And, you know, that's where I think you're right. You know, he either rebounds this week, or I think Tampa could be on the downslide. The Saints and the Falcons have both been playing a little bit better. Saints almost beat the Bengals yesterday. Which would have been great. Because the Giants took care of Baltimore and the Browns. Browns have now lost 12 of their last 19. So we're looking at division. You know, the Browns fans are, oh, we're gonna be great. Well, you guys aren't great. I think the Steelers are definitely better than the Browns. And I think that's what the irritation was, right? That Thursday night game, we could have beat that Browns team. And we're capable. And I think we'll show that at the end of the year. But it's funny because the Steelers are a half game out of being the worst team in the conference, but they're within one game of leading the division. So the disparity is just crazy. You know, I was sitting there thinking there's no way they're getting swept by Baltimore. There's no way they'll beat the Bengals. This defense plays like that. And that, you talk about a bad offensive line, how Joe Burrow, you know, has been able to even put together a few wins and not being getting broken in half. I don't know, but you know, we get them in a strong defense at home. I think that game is winnable too. So who knows right now? Because right now, as it stands tonight, the AFC North is wide open.
It is insane.
It's wide open.
I totally expected the Ravens and the Bengals to just run away with it. And I don't know what's going on with Baltimore. Giants are, they're okay, but come on, you don't lose the Giants at home. That's just odd. The Bengals, yeah, that's also another surprise. I kind of suspected that because I thought they would have like a Super Bowl hangover and stuff. But the Browns don't surprise me. I am surprised with how they're losing. I thought Jacoby Brissett would be like a complete garbage quarterback, and he's actually okay. They're actually losing because of their defense. But they're only a game out. This division is winnable, and that's ridiculous. If they could beat the Dolphins and be 3-4, and then obviously the Eagles game is a loss. 3-5 is still 3-5. You're still alive.
You're still alive. Absolutely. They could be that team that's got, you know, what would the record be? It used to be like 7-9 and win a division. So I guess now it'd be like you could be 7-10 and win a division. So
works for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, two weeks ago we're talking about next year's draft, and this week we're talking about they might win the divisions.
They might both. They might both. They might get a top 10 pick and win the division.
That'd be great. That's like an ideal season if you're not going to go all the way. Yeah.
Hey, I would still rock my 2022 AFC North Division Championship hat if that happened.
Yeah, like you earned that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that. And you'd host a playoff game. You'd host a playoff game against like 14-3 Chiefs or something like that. Yeah,
they're going to come in and smoke us 58-10, but you know.
Right. Right. As is tradition.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, I don't know if you watch any of that Chiefs Buffalo game, but I think that's where there is still a little bit of desperation, because you look at Buffalo and Kansas City right now, and there's just no question.
Oh, they're so far ahead of everyone.
So far ahead of everybody else. I mean, it's just not even, you know, close.
Yeah.
So, and we're not anywhere near that. You can only hope to be there. Cause I mean, hey, it was only a few years ago where the Bills took a Josh Allen, a kid out of Wyoming. A lot of people were like, really? He went to Wyoming, and he's just been nothing but spectacular. And I I'm a Penn State guy, so it's not like I'm being a Pitt homer. I think Kenny could be that guy. It's just, can you put together a decent season this year where, you know, it just doesn't all fall apart? And can you get yourself in a position to draft, you know, a guy that can protect him or aid him? Positive donut bag this week. Positive donut.
Yeah, positive. I mean, I literally had a funeral last week, so but anything's more positive than that. And, you know, funny thing about the Bills is they're only a game ahead of the Jets. If they go on a little bit of a losing streak, the Jets could win the AFC.
Could you imagine that? What? Yeah.
What?
I know. Yeah. The Jets.
That's why. If you want a guaranteed lose money, you're better off just throwing it in a fire than betting on NFL games, because you're not gonna. It's crazy. It's so unpredictable, and I love it. Don't gamble. I mean, I still do, and I lose money every week. But still, it's a really dumb idea.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know, man. The just taking a look ahead. I mean, the Falcons are playing well. I think that'll be tough, and the Eagles are gonna be tough. Dolphins are a winnable game. Win this week, and let's take it 1 week at a time. It's got to be their philosophy right now. 1 week at a time, and see what you can do.
I could totally. Now the more I think of it, I really like the Steelers' chances, just because nobody knows. Nobody knows Tua better than Flores, and nobody hates Tua more than Brian Flores. I think that's the reason why he lost his job. He's like, I don't want this dude. I hate this dude. I don't want this guy as my quarterback. I want anybody else. Please, I hate this dude. So,
and in the twist of irony there too, Joe, going back to your original point when we started the podcast, if you're going to take Mitch and he is starting Sunday, he's probably saying to himself, well, look, maybe I'm still QB2. I'm going to make it as hard as possible for you to put me in a backup role. I'm going to play as hard and as best as I can these next 2 weeks. You're going to get my best football in maybe my entire pro career these next couple of weeks or to whenever.
He is writing his resume. This is his resume. Right now, his resume is you were horrible in Chicago, and then you got a year with Buffalo. And now as a starter of the Steelers, you sucked. And so don't ever hire me again. So now this is his chance to say, you know what? I'm actually okay. Maybe you should, maybe someone should hire me. So this is, he's really playing for his career. So yeah, I just have this feeling. I mean, I think that the criticism of Matt Canada is, some of it is justified. I think he makes things overly complicated. That's just my guess.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, I'm still definitely not sold on him yet. Just not. We'll see how the season progresses, but it's just not started off looking. It wasn't good last year. It's not been good this year. And it's that's what I mean. Like, you know, I know Patrick Mahomes and Allen are, you know, just up here like this, but, you know, they still have an offense that flows well. That just seems to be in such precision and rhythm with how they run up and down the field. And even that Jets game yesterday, they looked really in sync against the Packers defense. So I just haven't felt like we've had a complete game yet. Even though we won Sunday, there was a lot of field goals. There was a field goal we needed a prayer on and got it. I still haven't seen a Matt Canada offense just come in and blow the doors off a team.
You know, the only time it looks in sync is like when they do like hurry up or quick tempo or something like that. Like, just do that. And I think the reason why, I think it goes back to, because it's a more simplified offense. You simplify it down when you do stuff like that. But I don't know. I just think he makes it overly complicated, but that's just a guess.
Yeah, me too. I just don't think it's all there. So, and that where I hate that is, I still feel like Najee can be this great running back here. And I just hope he's not, you know, going to get where down in the doldrum or not believe in his offensive coordinator, or we may lose him. And like, you got to give credit to where credit's due with Saquon Barkley and the Giants. Now he stood it out. They had some terrible offensive coordinators there for his first couple of years. He had a great rookie year, lousy the last couple of years. This year, he's tearing it up. He's leading the NFL in rushing, I believe, as of today. He's having a great bounce back season and he stuck with it. You can only hope Najee does the same thing here.
I saw something that said, is Najee Harris the next Trent Richardson? It's like, that's a punch to the gut right there. And they were like comparing their numbers and like have almost the exact same numbers at that, this point. They're kind of like,
yeah.
Hopefully not. Hopefully, I think he'll redeem himself. So we'll see. But
yep.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
I like
happy talk better. I like talk after wins than after losses.
It's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Joe. We'll see you soon. Thanks for having me again.
See you.